Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Invasion or Half Up Podcast, Episode 9. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me this week is a special guest, Miss Haley Strong. Haley, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. I'm a little disappointed that my first appearance here on the Challenge or Half Up Podcast is one without my darling dear, my love, my everything, Allie Lasher. But, I mean, I guess you're an all right substitute.
That's all I strive for. All right is all I need.
I know, and so. I know people think I'm an all right substitute too, but we'll have to wait and see.
You'll probably hear right at home with this week, as the to be continued is kind of straight from your world as The Bachelor. They thrive on that, and we got another one this week.
Definitely. This really feels like, you know, a welcome episode for me, because there was drama, there was girl on girl hate, there was a love triangle, like you said, a to be continued. Allegedly, there was some punches thrown. So, like, this is my world.
Yeah, tons of stuff. I don't understand why this show and The Bachelor, the two ones that primarily do these to be continues, why do shows need to do that? Like, this, I felt this one had so much momentum going to the end and just killed it. And The Bachelor does that too. They have so much momentum going into the big climax of the episode, and then it's like, nope, next week.
I don't understand. I think they do it to build drama, but what really happens is it's easier for us to kind of tell what's going to happen in the next episode. Like, to me, let's just skip ahead. It feels like to me that they're just trying to extend time so, like, Johnny can be on the TV show more. You know, and the way they ended it, it doesn't feel like Johnny's going to get in the basket. I could be wrong, whatever. But then it's like, you don't go out being like, oh my God, what a great episode. And it was. This is probably one of my favorite episodes I've ever seen of The Challenge. But it just kind of like breaks it off in a weird spot.
Yeah, it killed it for me. But before we get into this, we're usually going to do with whoever we have on is kind of get their background of The Challenge. So what is your, are you a Rahab or Rahab addition to The Challenge, or were you watching this before me and Allie brought it to this world?
No, see, I do things, I kind of like, I do things, I watch TV shows that Allie talks about. I didn't watch a Challenge before her. I didn't watch Are You the One before her. I didn't watch Drag Race before her. Like, that makes me sound like the creepiest creep to ever creep a creep. I'm like single white femaling her right now, trying to take over her life. But I came in when you guys started covering it. I listened to the first season of podcast, Free Agents, without watching the show. And then when you guys started the next season, I got into the podcast. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Have you gone back and watched any of the old ones? Or you
No, I went back and I watched Free Agents. I watched the first... God, what was it? Was the DM's first Rival. Season.
Oh, that was way back when.
Yeah. Okay. I found that bootleg version on YouTube. So I watched that. And then I watched X's One. I watched Free Agents. And I think that's it. And plus, like, the ones you've covered. So I went back and watched a few. But I have a real weird thing with kind of skipping out on all the finales, though. I don't know what it is about the final challenge that just doesn't do it for me. And when I know who wins, I'm like, I don't really care that much. Like, there's never as much drama as I want in those episodes. So I'm always like, tapping out.
That's an amazing move. You see, you watch all the way to the end and then you stop watching the finale.
Yeah, I've only seen two finales, and it was Free Agents and Fresh Meat 1 or whatever that was.
When you read a book, do you like not read the last chapter?
Depends on the book. Literally, okay. There is a book recently I read, and it was kind of like a creepy book. And one of the main characters was being like stalked by a murderer. So what I did was
those usually go hand in hand. So that's there you
I
go.
Skipped to the end, read the last chapter to make sure this character survived before I went back and continued reading the book, so I could go through with that comfort of knowing she's not going to die.
That's all right. That's a bit all right. That's interesting. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually spoiled myself purposely.
I do it literally all the time. There's so many TV shows I don't watch, but I still read recaps for because I need to know the information.
Yeah, I always find like to do that, or especially the, I know you said you did it for our show and I'm very pleased you do it, but I can never imagine listening to a podcast about a show I don't listen to. I just can't imagine myself doing that.
I do it all the time.
Kudos to you, I guess. So should we jump into what kind of may have been the theme of your book, which is the girls dressing up as if they're murder victims, with Camilla, Laurel, and Kara acting like a death murder scene?
Yeah, the costume party costumes were a little freaky for me. A lot of blood. The whole, like, Laurel being the girl from the ring was, like, not settling well with me. I don't know how you feel about scary movies, but I'm not into them.
Yeah, the Camilla costume worked perfectly for her, though. I mean, this was kind of like she could do this on like a Friday night just as her normal costume going out. So it worked.
It might not even be a costume for her. She might have actually hit someone.
Yeah, she'd be just thrown out like, oh, why is everyone else dressed as costume? This is just my Friday night outfit. Laurel was, you know, way over the top. She had, looked like she took a pool and a jump in a pool of blood.
That was horrifying. Like, where did they even find it? Did they bring all of these, like, costume pieces with them?
I've always wondered. I think they had to. I think they know each season there's going to be some type of costume party, and they just have to just plan, you know, weeks, months in advance. All right, what is my costume going to be if I'm still around for this episode, basically?
Yeah, and I was talking to Mike Bloom, and he brought up the point, like, could this be Halloween here? Because, like, did they film over that time?
That's a good point. It probably could be, but they usually have a costume party anyway, but maybe yeah, if they have a Halloween, if they're there for Halloween, then it probably work.
Yeah. But there was a lot of partying in this episode. Like, there was a lot of big party scenes, and they all seem to be separate from one another. Like, we're looking forward to the Amanda, Laurel, Camilla fight, but that's, like, that's tomorrow's party. That's not tonight's party.
No, this feels like this could have easily taken place over the course of like a week, and it just, like, they just compacted into, like, maybe this was like 24 hours. Yeah, it was like one night into the club, into like back home, into another night of just chaos.
It was pure chaos. So did anything like super big happen during the costume party?
Not really, other than Camilla embracing nakedness and jumping into a pool and wearing the costume off.
Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite lines of the night, they boob cheers.
Yeah.
Her Jenna can fit it all in one hand.
Yeah, I can't believe that's the first time something like that has happened on MTV.
Yeah,
or at least they've shown it. So, but other than that, I thought the other big thing before the club was the interesting conversation Laurel had with Camilla about, you know, embracing her being attracted to Nicole and how her parents react, how her friends would react. What did you make of, like, that type of, like, oddly serious conversation?
I kind of love this conversation. I feel like it's a side that we don't often see from Laurel. We often see, like, a mean girl Laurel or, like, tough competitor Laurel, but we never see vulnerable Laurel. And I thought it was a really compelling scene. And I like these scenes from reality television. Like, this is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. I like, you know, the relationship dynamics, you know, whether they're friendship, romantic, derived from competitiveness, whatever. I find those really interesting, especially since the challenge. What's really interesting about it is that these relationships are created and maintain and spread throughout multiple seasons. Like, some of them have been 2 years, some of them have been like 10, 15 years. So I'd love being able to see these stories kind of continue. And I'm not totally sure what, like, Camilla and Laurel's background is. Like, have they always been friends?
I mean, sort of. I don't think they've ever been, like, close. They've kind of just been, like, acquaintances, just being part of, like, kind of this world. But,
right. Like, but now that they're, say, like, forced in this champion situation, it's kind of like there's not much many people to turn to.
I mean, it's just them three, like, them two and Kara. So it's not like, well, I only have Kara, and now she's kind of been, like, my I'm battling her over, you know, Nicole. So I can only turn to Camilla to talk to this about. So it is kind of like a weird pairing that they would be this close. But, like, I mean, they've been through battles together. I'm sure they've developed some type of friendship over the years.
Yeah. And I thought this was a really compelling conversation. And later down the line, Laurel has a conversation with Cara Maria, too, about, you know, her feelings with Nicole. And I thought that was, like, a really productive discussion between the two of them, because oftentimes when we see two women not fighting because, like, Kara's not really interested in Nicole, but, like, more or less fighting over the same romantic interest. It's usually the women turn on each other. And I liked here that Laurel and Kara Maria were able to have, like, a really, like, mature adult conversation about, like, the feelings involved in this, like, truel. And I thought that was super interesting, too. And I think part of that was, like I said before, that this relationship has built and developed and, you know, been built up and torn down, been, you know, rebuilt over seasons and seasons and seasons. I think Laurel and Kara Maria have one of the more interesting backstories in the challenge. So it was kind of cool to see them come here and, like, really get along and have, like, a productive conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, you know, when we kind of saw at the club scene, you know, that they kind of did a nice flashback of Laurel and Kara, just to give, like, a nice little retrospective about, you know, them starting out, like, they really did hate each other. They were, you know, pairing on the first rivals, and then they kind of mended fences, and now they're, I mean, I think Laurel, they, like, live together in, like, Montana, of all places. Like, they're, like, this weird, like, pairing of just, like, super close friends about it, and how they've evolved from bitter, bitter rivals to now, you know, they're wouldn't do anything to each other. Like, it's a great, like, just character, dual character arc that we've seen over the years.
Yeah, and I appreciate that they do flashbacks to those scenes, because, like, I kind of know the lore of Laurel and Kara Maria.
Say that five times fast.
I couldn't say it once. I don't know their story super well, I just know the you know, the basics of it. So kind of being able to see those kind of moments was really helpful, and something I appreciate that they do in the challenge.
Yeah, MTV is good at that. When they're kind of two people that have had a history, or if something's a callback, they don't have a problem digging deep and showing, like, what happened, you know, 3-4 seasons ago, and kind of embracing, you know, the history of the challenge, because that is one of the more unique things about the, you know, other reality shows is kind of either a one and done, or, you know, only on for a couple seasons, and even that your one season doesn't really have that much connection to the new one. So for this, where it's, you know, the same core of 10, 15, 20 people that are just keep coming back year after year, it's good to see them embracing the fact that, yeah, you know, this isn't just like a isolated season. These people do have a history.
Yeah. So I appreciate she's seeing those moments.
Absolutely.
Other moments I appreciate seeing are club scenes, especially when people are trying to mac on each other. Nicole, I see you trying to mac on Kara Maria, and that didn't work. So you go and try to mac on Laurel, and she knows what's up.
Yeah, Laurel's like, no, I'm not. You're not playing games with my heart.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, no, she's cut that down. Good for her. I mean, standing up for herself. You know, I mean, I love Jenna. She's great. She's America's sweetheart. So hopefully, nothing bad ever happens to her. She doesn't really stand up for herself. You know, Zach comes strolling in,
and
puffing her chest, and boom, takes him right back.
Yeah, Laurel, Laurel's one gal I would not want to get in a fight with. We'll get to that later. I wouldn't want to be on her bad side in any way. And so I liked that Laurel was just like, no, I'm not doing this. And obviously we know if you're following along on Instagram from home, things do end up well for Nicole and Laurel. They're still together.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's kind of interesting knowing that scene, like how it's going to play out. Like you would think, oh, kind of. Maybe it's like, oh, well, Laurel probably has to be Kara because maybe their relationship will develop more in the house. But then we see, you know, Dario and Ashley. They were gone early, and now they're happily ever after. So you never really know about how and when these relationships develop. And it's interesting. We kind of get like the first little glimpse of it here.
Yeah, and so it's going to be interesting to see how and if it evolves further on the season.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. And then, do you have anything else at the fun club scene before, you know, Chip
Gate comes back? Before we get into real shit? No, let's get to it.
So, Megan Elizabeth kind of starts it off with, why are we still talking about the chips in the bed prank? Can Amanda and Ashley dish it out, i.e. rumors about Jenna and Bruno, but not take a simple prank that is arguably far less harmful than the rumors they spread?
It's really, really, really frustrating, and it's hard to expect rational thinking from people who are on the challenge, and it's even harder to expect that when they're drunk and on the challenge. Amanda is like the most frustrating person on television because she can dish it out, but she can't take it. And when she can't take it, she really can't take it. I think she has a lot of issues with, as an armchair psychologist, she's never taken one psychology course. It seems like she has a lot of issues with people respecting her or not respecting her. And any slight against her, she takes as like total wholehearted disrespect and like will not stand for it and will lash out. Not the way I would approach things, but that's just me.
Yeah, she, Amanda seems like the person where, you know, if you're just like poking a little fun, she'll be the one to like come over the top and be like, oh, I hope your mom gets cancer and dies. Like she can't, she know how to just take,
yeah,
like,
but and if someone
prank,
said that to her, like she would like shank them.
Right, exactly. She doesn't know how to just take like a simple prank and just kind of laugh it off or, you know, just play along with it. She just takes, she has to take everything so personally. It's like a absolute slight against her and her being and her character, and she just has to come over the top. She does. I mean, we've seen this, we saw this with her on Are You the One. She's the pop off queen for a reason.
How many nose to nose confrontations has she been in during her 3-season span on MTV?
Yeah, she's
at least one per season.
Yeah, absolutely. At least.
Did she have one with Camilla last season too?
Sort of. I don't think it got as like drastic as this, but there was definitely an argument about, I think Camilla was like, just go back to Are You the One, like your show doesn't matter, and Amanda, she can't have that. And yeah, it kind of led to, maybe that was the preseason version of what we saw tonight.
Yeah, that this was like the big leagues and that was spring training.
Right, exactly. So that's when Laurel, so we have the hilarious image of a Laurel and Amanda standing, you know, nose to, you know, chest, basically. And they're starting to throw in. So Laurel brings up her varsity volleyball career, which I don't understand why it has any relevance to what's going on right now.
Does any of this have any relevance to anything? Like they're just spewing out bullshit. This episode was just full of the most perfect lines I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, I have like a top 10 of my favorite.
It's like Family Feud style.
Yeah.
Number 10 answer on the board.
You stop it. You're just using her for screen time. From our boy Shane, who has just been a real winner.
The call outs for screen, for people being like screeners has been a growing theme over the last like few years. People, that's starting to become something they show every year. And
as
it's always,
if all of these people aren't on here for screen time and screen, right, time alone.
What are they? What else are you on this show for?
Like, sure, not going to further your career.
Yeah, are you there? It's either your profession, like some people, bananas, or you're there for screen time. So that's why pretty much everyone's there.
That's fine. If you wanna sell tight tummy tea on your Instagram and you have to go on the challenge to be able to do that, then like fine. But
yeah,
you're all there for the same reason.
And sometimes not the right reasons.
Are any of us here for the right reasons? Truly,
never. We have Camilla calling Amanda a wasp, which I have to start just using in my general vocabulary.
Yeah, so
it's
people,
a great insult.
If people do not know, it stands for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, which is basically just just calling like Amanda like an uppity white bitch.
Right. So it's the cool way to say basic bitch, basically.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, definitely. Just one of the many great lines from this fight. One of my favorites was Amanda yelling at her, bitch, you're from Boston. Is that an accent or is it a speech impediment? Another one was Amanda called Camilla fat, which girl is not the least bit fat. I hate on these shows when like the women throw fat around as an insult to women who are like literally size fours. It drives me insane because you're giving everyone else watching an eating disorder. So Amanda, another mark against you. But Camilla reacted just flawlessly to it.
Just as Camilla would.
And being like, here's my body. And then she does this beautiful dance where she's given Amanda the double bird while like thrusting.
It was so perfect. And it's true. Like, I brought this up last week I actually think this is the best Camilla has looked since she's been on the show.
She looks so good.
Of all the times we go, Camilla, you're like fat and disgusting. Like, no, this is actually like the best Camilla has looked.
Well, so, like, Camilla's Camilla's beautiful and she's tiny. Yeah. Amanda's just being like, she ran out of good lines. So she was just thrown the low blows.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they were,
which apparently she threw a high blow earlier in the episode, according to Mill on Twitter, but that was not seen, and therefore she was not kicked out because it was not seen. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how that works.
So Camilla dropping the tea on Twitter about Amanda throwing literal shots, apparently. Now, do you buy it? Do you think is Camilla just trying to, defend herself?
Or I think Amanda laid hands on her. I wouldn't doubt that for a damn second. Whether it was a push or, a sucker punch or a slap, I don't know. But I do feel like Amanda touched her.
Probably. And the issue is there's no clear line in the sand that MTV has about, you do this specific thing. I mean, usually they're pretty clear on a punch you go home, but everything in between, they're it's so case by case based about what causes someone to go home. We saw, last season Camilla and Tony got sent home just for basically yelling at each other. So yeah. It's very, very it's very confusing about
MTV doesn't like to actually get someone sort of rules. Look at Mike, who also involving Amanda in a situation that I do not condone and I do not respect, and I think Mike should have been sent home for. But then he was rewarded with a stint on the Real World. I don't get it.
And I'm sure he'll probably find his way back into the channel so he can just do the literal trifecta of being on every show.
Yeah, I don't understand why a very serious moment like that wasn't upheld and was a permanent ban from any of these shows. Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, he actually got sent home on the Real World also. So
did he really? What happened?
I honestly don't. I just remembered he got sent home. I don't think it was for... he said something sort of racist to one of the black girls on the show.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And so
Can someone tweet me what happened there?
Yeah, so someone tweet us the update about exactly what happened, Mike. But he said something sort of racist, and he woke up the next morning and was oh my God, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm just going home. And then 2 hours later, he just left.
Yeah, maybe he should not be on reality television anymore because he does things he regrets all the time.
So he's got one more show to get Pete kicked out of. So he's almost there.
Can't wait. Yay. But anyway, what were you talking about before, Mike? These people are ridiculous.
Yeah, these people are ridiculous. As CT says, it's better than TV. It is TV.
I love that. And I love...
Bad CT. He's so meta.
Best CT ever.
I think I started to make that case a little bit as the season has gone on, and I think it just only enhances it. It's cool. We've had the fun, murderous, eating your face and, your unborn children CT. I think it's kind of nice to see, and it's a fun side of the, just being so meta about, this is better than TV, and, poking Johnny about how, he's stirring the pot and throwing his brain into a complete pretzel.
You serious? That's all you do? There's something so magical to me about old cats like CT, Shane, and Darrell watching all of this unfold as the mature adults of the group and just being what the hell? And just almost being the audience's voice into this situation.
I mean, I've compared it to just if these people were 30, 35 years old and are going to a freshman orientation party and then they just I gotta be like, what are we doing here? What are these wrong with these people?
There's a paycheck at the end of the day, so all right, well, let's just hold out. And it's also all these idiots are gonna eat at each other and we're gonna be left at the end,
yeah. And it's kind of the circle of life. Soon Amanda and Corey
soon
and these
Corey's
people,
gonna be the sane person.
They're gonna be the old veterans looking down on the new crop of who people who are 15 right now working their way up through the ranks.
It makes me feel so old, knowing that half the cast right now is younger than me. At 25.
When we start seeing people on reality shows who were born in 2000,
that's coming soon.
It's coming. They're going to college this year.
They're 2 years away from that.
Yeah, it's happening.
Oh my God. I feel so old right now. Oh my God. Okay.
So we had a brief glimpse of just the rare sighting of Jenna this episode of her just basically just telling Nicole just to kind of get her head on straight and she needs to just pick Carl or Laurel.
God, I love Jenna. Which is kind of good advice. I love Jenna so, so much. Okay. Again, I remember listening to your ex's coverage and you just hating Jay and maybe even Jenna a little bit too. And being why is Jenna even here? But has Jenna not had amazing arc?
That definitely where I was at with Jenna. Why is she even here? And she's proving me incredibly wrong.
Now can we I don't need to see a challenge without Jenna for the next 5 years.
She's a staple in every way about her just her challenge prowess and just her.
She hasn't in lost house. An elimination yet.
No, it's incredible.
It's amazing. Her,
what makes Jenna so perfect is this exact conversation, because she gets super serious with Nicole, like, oh, you know, you need to pick. It's not fair. You can't keep stringing them along. And then, like, the next breath, she's like, what do you think of this nail color?
I know. And she's just so, like, she's so perfect. And
it's the ultimate Jenna.
She says things in a way, like, how she was talking to Nicole, it wasn't like, you need to pick. You're fucking with two girls' feelings, and that's not okay. She's just like, listen, Nicole, if you don't pick one, you're going to lose both. And it's going to happen. That's just what's going to happen. Do you like my nail polish? And Nicole's like, it matches your eyes. And she's like, my eyes aren't purple.
At least Laurel knows her colors. That's one thing she's got. She knows a little bit about color schemes.
This was just, I love Jenna. I need Jenna just around all the time. And I think that she's really even, like, come out of her shell as the seasons come on. Like, the first season was like, oh, Jenna's a dope. And now she's, like, dopey, but also, like, gives great advice, is great at challenges, and is actually has, like, a good set of social skills. Like, you don't often see Jenna getting in on the fights except with her cousin. And that's only because Brianna's dad had a bakery. So obviously she had a better set in life than Jenna.
Obviously. I mean,
if Jenna's dad wasn't in jail, she'd have a bakery too.
And she would have that job. People forget that. She would have that job.
I think you're doing better than Brianna right now, Jenna.
But with Jenna's kind of not, she's like Nicole in the fact that, you know, when she first kind of broke onto the show, the veterans started to really embrace her pretty quickly. And I think that's
a great point.
It allows the viewer to embrace. Once you see, like, you know, CT or, you know, Laurel or whoever the people that usually they love, they see them start to embrace these other people, kind of like, okay, this could be the new crew I could start to like. And we saw that with Jenna. Now we're seeing it with Nicole. So,
and also, when we see people hate on Jenna, we hate those people.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
When we see, like, we were all so in on Ashley until she started slamming Jenna. And then we're like, girl, a step too far.
Yeah, this is our girl. You don't come at Jenna. America's sweetheart. Let's back off. So it's kind of, we're not seeing the full new crop, but we're seeing, like, the little standouts about who could be. We got the Jenna, we got Nicole. Even like Ashley's kind of like a wild card, but she could be like the Tanya or whatever. Like, we have like a
but
little
also,
bit of
Ashley knows she's
developing.
Insane, which is like, absolutely. I love, like, Amanda would never admit to being crazy, where Ashley, like, literally in this episode dressed up as a clown and was like, what's the difference from my real life? I'm crazy. And it was like, you're correct, you are crazy.
And amazingly, she was like sane enough. She had like a real normal moment. She's like, I don't want to get involved in drama tonight. And I was like, whoa, is this Smashley? This is actually Smashley not wanting to get involved in drama?
Yeah, and Amanda kind of expected her to have her back and was like, well, I guess I come into this house alone and I'm leaving it alone. Like, okay, girl, see ya, bye.
That's always been Amanda's theme about.
It really has been.
She tells that to everyone about, like, you're not friends with these people. Don't even try to be friends. Well, it's kind of act like you, Amanda. You're not really going to be friends with any of them.
Also, and to win, like, what people forget is just because this game is called The Challenge, it doesn't mean that there isn't a social aspect to it. Why do you think Jenna has made every final she's, like, been on a season for? Because people like her. And, like, yeah, people don't see her as the hugest threat. But in the last couple of seasons, when she's been winning challenges, they still bring her to the end because they enjoy being around her. And, like, that is such an underrated, you know, skill on any of these reality TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Everyone in Survivor, or even, like, Bachelor, all that stuff, everyone just thinks that, like, there's this, the skills you see are the ones that, oh, that has to be the most important. But it's everything that you don't see that is what really matters about this. Being nice to be around is just
that
as
is
if it is in life.
It's
just like
underrated
what matters most
thing on these shows, and I don't think some of these people understand that. And, like, that's fine. That's what makes this show the show.
Exactly. That's why people they get drunk and they do stupid stuff because they can't understand. Just be cool. Just be normal. Just be chill. Be, you know, be Jenna. When in life,
don't
be like Jenna.
A weirdo. Just be Jenna. Nice. Yeah. Be Jenna. Just be Jenna.
Well. What would Jenna do? WWJ. WWJ day.
Oh, the bracelets still work for it.
So do you have anything else before we hop to the challenge for this week?
No, let's, or should we say hang to the challenge this week?
There you go. There you go. This one's Fallout. I feel like I'm getting stupider over the years because I never understand what they're about to do until they actually do it. So when TJ explains the rules, I'm like, I don't understand this at all. And then when they do, I'm like, oh, glad I'm not alone. I get it.
Maybe it's because like I have a tendency to watch these episodes while I'm at work. Like I'll do work and have it on in the background. So sometimes I don't catch every little minutia of detail. But I was just like, what? And I was like, okay, is there going to be multiple rounds of this? Like, oh, right. They're literally just hanging on a rope and then that's it. Like, I don't get me wrong. I think the challenges this season have been really cool and interesting. And I did like this one, but I wish there was like more than one heat of male and female.
Yeah, I don't even know why they had to do different heats. I feel like they could have mixed and matched. It's not like they were battling each other. They were just holding rope. I think it could have been interesting if they had half and half of, you know, pairing men and women together. I think this could have been one where they had each sex doing it together.
Or even like had all of, I mean, I guess this is just completely changing up the game. But like have all of them hang on a wall. And then like whoever lasts the longest, like Survivor style, whoever lasts the longest. But then we wouldn't get the kind of amazing moment where Shane just bulldozes through the pack of people hanging on the one rope because there's only two ropes. So like you kind of had to hedge your bets of where to go and hope that less people were hanging on to the rope you were on, because if one person falls and you're screwed, and or if one person decides to just roll on through, then you're screwed. And that's what Shane did and knocked out half of the men's contention.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I didn't think about this when it happened, but Mike Bloom brought up the fact of when he asked, was Shane's strategy a consequence of the alternating elimination days? I'm assuming he probably would not have been so cavalier if he was one of the people competing for safety.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I will add this tiny little bit of like, well, maybe. Shane has all along been like, I'm a team player. I do things for the team. I don't do things for myself. I do things for the team. So I could see him doing that to further his team's chances. And then at least like in the voting and stuff, he could be like, well, look, I did it for the team, so you can't vote me in. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
I could see him doing that.
I could, because he's shown to be kind of the level headed of how to handle these pressure situations. You know, we saw him with the Curry. He kind of took charge about doing all that. He obviously showed his skill in the elimination about how to properly move the tuk-tuks or whatever those things were.
Yeah.
So he's shown that, you know, the veteran leadership does matter. And his strategy worked to perfection here. He knocked, you know, everyone out in one fell swoop, leaving Corey and Nelson just there to literally just hang.
He himself decided the men's final or the men's elimination.
Yeah, I was stunned that Bananas didn't have some type of trick up his sleeve to kind of keep his foot above the ground, but
it's astounding to me every time Johnny is an elimination. Like it feels like seeing a zebra in the wild for some reason.
Did y'all see this early? Usually he's has a track record of being in the last one.
Yeah. But
seeing him here it was a little bit shocking. But the kind of the more compelling one was the girl battle, because I mean the underdogs fell pretty quickly. They're all hanging on the Godzilla Laurel and she just couldn't hang any longer, so she fell out. And then we had the Kara Camilla battle where Camilla basically tried to hang herself.
I was getting a little scared. She was like had it wrapped around her chest, and that's just like not great. Like I got what she was going for and I think her idea was sound, but just the method was not there. And so I texted you earlier today after I finished the episode, Inside Baseball here, and I said, oh, you're gonna have fun with Kara this episode, aren't you? And you just sent me back like a weird, like tongue out face. So I'm just gonna read you. Let me see if I still have it up or if it.
Did she tweet?
She Instagram/tweeted. Okay, it disappeared on me. So I'm just gonna. Oh no, it's here. It's here. Okay, I lost it. Give me 1 second. Are you doing like a Super Mario theme song?
That's the sound I always make when either me or Allie's trying to pull up a tweet.
Okay. Production yelled at me for trying to use my feet to J-hook the rope. So I used my hands and slipped.
That's what Kara said?
Yeah. Wasn't so mad at Camilla, more pissed at production for telling me I'm not allowed to use my feet and went fucking with the rules as we went. Girl, it's MTV. That's all they do. All they do is F with the rules.
What I can't stand about Kara is all she does is she come up with excuses for herself.
She can never, never take responsibility for her actions, and that's very frustrating.
Why can't you just say
like, hey, I thought I could outrun her, but she outbrained me, and that's just the way she goes sometimes.
Exactly, because when things go well for her, when something goes good, I'm great. Yeah, I train so hard.
I can do pull-ups, and she can't even do one.
Exactly. When things go great, it's all because of her. And when things go wrong, it's all because of something else. And it's the most infuriating thing with her all the time.
Oh, and there's one more thing. Jamie Banks at Banksy878.
Cuz.
You killed it, cuz. She responded, thanks, cuz. And they both spelled cuz differently, so that's interesting.
I still can't believe they actually call each other cuz on Twitter. Like, that's, oh my god, they just call each other by their name. I still don't know any people in real life who call their cuz.
It's just their name. Oh my god, okay. And she, like, posted this picture of herself hanging off a rope. And was like, and someone tweeted her, like, Cara Maria would have won the mission had she been able to do this, but nope, production had to mess with the rules, and she was, like, hanging on there with rope. And Cara responded, oh, am I right? I didn't think of it until I saw her wrapped up, so I started to hold on to the rope with my feet, and production yelled at me to let go.
Always excuses. Always. So you thought what Camilla did was smart, right? Because Ashley Badaz was asked if it was fair or unfair.
I think it's fair. If it said within the rules, you can't wrap yourself up in it, it's like you got to hold on with your hands and that's it, then I don't think it was fair. If that wasn't in the rules and Camilla was just like, you know, I need to give myself as much like area to grab onto as possible or to like keep me up. Like, I don't think it was smart for her to wrap around her neck. Like, even TJ was like, girl, can you not do that? I thought it was smart. Of course.
Yeah, I'm with you. You do whatever you can to do to win. Yeah, absolutely. Any type of advantage. If they want you to stop. I mean, I don't think I would ever start wrapping a rope around my neck. I don't think Camilla realized that.
It
gives
me a chill thinking about it.
Like, if you make one wrong step, that could be very, very bad.
Really, really bad. It could have been bad for her to have it wrapped around her waist. Like, if it just yanked a little wrong, like, girl, you're decapitated.
But, like, I understood where she was coming. Like, oh, why don't I just kind of wrap myself in, make a little cocoon for myself.
Camilla knew that Cara was stronger than her, and that's fine. But Camilla also knows that she's smarter than Cara.
Yeah, so I'm all in on Camilla doing that. Good for her.
Yeah,
and she got the one.
Yeah, I loved that out of the three of them. Like, Camilla was the one that won this challenge. Amazing. No one would have guessed that.
Yeah, so Camilla got the win. Yeah,
I think because Camilla is so insane, we doubt her actual abilities in these things. If you think about it, in the last few challenges she's been in last challenge, she wasn't eliminated because of her athletic prowess. And then the season before, it was Bloodlines, and she didn't get eliminated. Her sister got eliminated.
Yeah. Will Seaman says, is this the best Camilla we've gotten since the first exits? This is from all across the board. Her Camillinator here, this is a big challenge win. She's going to be one of the final two champion girls, and who knows what the format goes from here. So she's got a shot to win it all. And considering she had all Instagram saying she was going to retire after last season, I would say this is quite the turnaround.
And she has great relationships with pretty much everyone left on the champion side, and even some good relationships with the people on the challenger side. Like, look at Corey. Like, that's a person you want in your pocket, I think.
Mm-hmm. She's in good shape. This was a very surprising win. I think if you ask most people, you know, these three, who do you think is most likely to go home this week, let alone win the challenge?
Camilla's going home.
Yeah. So, I mean, setting up the Laurel versus Carl eliminations, I mentioned CT. So CT got the win, and that set up
by a foot.
Bananas of Retiro, literally by a foot, just because of how Shane tackled everyone. CT's foot was a little bit higher off the ground.
And before we get into the elimination, I just want to go through a couple people who we haven't talked about. Because there's quite a few people who are just completely invisible this episode.
Hunter.
I hate Hunter. I hate him so, so much. He's so douchey. He's so high on his own dick. I hate him so, 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 so much. I hate that he covers his eyebrow with his stupid hat. I hate that he thinks he can, he's like, I have to like someone before I sleep with them. Like, dude, you're fucking a girl in a bunk bed. Like, fuck off. Like, leave me alone. I hate his stupid steroid rage. I hate he is the most infuriating person to me on this season.
And it's so unexpected because this was not at all what he was like on Are You the One?
We were all, like, the first like three episodes of the season, we were all like, wait, who is this again? Who?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so, like, he is. And then, like, then yelling at Ashley, like, girl, you have no class, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna fucking be here if I fucking wanna be here. Like, no, get out of my face, get out of my space. GTFO, I'm sure his D is 3 inches long, and that's why he acts like that.
When he was first, I thought he was gonna be more of like a Kahana type, you know, like the sweet country, like, just kind of nice guy, gets along with people. And then all
not
of a sudden,
not once steroids got to his brain, boom. Brian.
Nah, yeah, Kahana didn't dip into the steroids. Hunter did. This is a great test case about what it what does.
He is my least favorite person on this show by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and totally unexpected. But I'm with you. He's douche vibes out to the wazoo.
I hate him. And like the worst part is, like, Corey, he's douchey, but I think he knows he's a douche. Where like Hunter is a douche, but he thinks he's like hot can of soap here. Like he just drives me crazy. And I hate people who are so high on their own like nobility. Like, I'm a Southern boy. Like, he definitely has a Confederate flag tattoo. He has to.
And that's the difference between Hunter and Corey, is that Corey knows he's like a player and like a slime ball, but he has like the swagger about him that just makes him like a little bit likable.
Yeah, Hunter, like you said,
a noble guy.
When Kayla left and Corey had that thing, was like, all right, see you later, Kayla. Now, who do you want me to hook up with, America?
Right.
Like, if we saw that coming from Hunter, we'd be like, fuck Hunter, he's the worst, I hate him. But for coming from Corey, it's like, LOL, that's hilarious, buddy. Because, like, I don't know, he's just, I like Corey. I genuinely, like, enjoy him being on my TV. He's not as, like, roid ragey as stupid Hunter. Who else do there's no one else I really hate, probably.
There's a lot of people to hate.
Like, that's true, but, like, no one with such, like, intense rage as Hunter, and it bothers me that he's still here, and that's upsetting. Like, even, like, Dario, he's, like, douchey, but I enjoy him. Nelson?
Yeah, he's kind of falls more in the Corey robe.
Yeah.
And he's douchey, but he kind of knows it.
And, like, Nelson's on the verge for me, but I would take 48 Nelsons over half a Hunter.
It is amazing how much, usually when, like, for an underdog elimination, the champions still have, like, a storyline. This episode, other than Amanda getting involved in the
championship,
this was pure champs. This is everything. I don't think anyone had a confessional besides Amanda.
We didn't even see a Jenna confessional, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, Jenna was non-existent. Corey was non-existent. Nelson was non-existent. Hunter was non-existent.
Good.
I mean, Ashley barely was existent.
I know. And I still get a kick out of Ashley. I'm still happy she's on my TV. Who else is even there? This season has felt very odd to me. It feels like I couldn't believe that we're going to be down to two men and two women on the champion side. And I think part of that is because the seasons feel so divided. Like, I forget that the shelter even happened.
Yeah.
Six people in that.
It feels like three different seasons. There was the shelter season, and then, like, there's two individual seasons of, like, there's a champ season and an underdog season just happening simultaneously. The format has made this a very convoluted type of season.
Yeah. I lose stakes in it too, because like the editors are right. Why do I care about what the challengers are doing right now? I don't.
I'm hoping after the next, I think we'll have another underdog like week, and then like another elimination. I'm hoping after that things are going to change, because I don't know, they can't have a champion challenge day when there's two of each. Then how are they going to have an elimination?
Yeah,
but I think after that, that's when things are going to shift. I hope so. I don't know how else they would do it,
but it still is there. I still don't totally understand like the bank account.
Neither do I.
So does that just get like, so for example, if Nicole wins, if two challengers win, so like let's say Nicole and Corey win, so then they get $250,000. Does that mean that the $25,000 in their bank gets added to that?
I think,
because I've never seen a challenge with the team element to it.
Usually when they have the team element, it goes
like they
basically
stay
all the way. It just like, it builds so high up, and then like the final isn't worth as much as it is because they just have so many challenges each week that it's just building up. Here, right. It's like each team's gonna have like, you know, 30 grand. There's gonna be so much more to decide on. And if this does go to individual, they never had team bank accounts, and then it kind of flushes to individuals. I don't know how they would do that.
Yeah, I don't really understand what's going on with that. So that makes it even harder for me to care because I don't know what the stakes are there.
Yeah, there's still more unknown about where this format is going.
I mean, that's one thing that's frustrating about the challenge is that so often we don't really understand what the format is going to be. Like, at least tell us. If you're not going to tell them, tell us so we can follow what's going on.
Right, exactly. Give us, like, what's the end date? What's the end plan? Give us at least a hint. So, before the elimination, we had Laurel and Nicole kind of have their talk it out. Nicole tried to win Laurel back, but she's just, no, I'm not dealing with your games. This is not
I thought Nicole made some really excellent points here. She said, I came into the house single, and I'm just having fun. I'm not tied down to anything, and, like, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but, you know, this is what I'm doing. And, I mean, can you blame her if she's being honest about it?
No, I think that it's perfect that she's being honest, and I think it's, I mean, for Laurel, this has to be, like, a weird thing, like, of her first, you know, pursuing another girl, like, this has to be a weird thing to do on TV, so I can imagine imagine her just having a little bit of cold feet. Like, do you actually want to dive into this, especially like on TV? Maybe should I wait just to kind of do it in private life? I don't know what I'm doing. So I can see, you know, Nicole's just being like, oh, I'm just having fun. I'm just kind of flirting around. Like, that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like,
she's not in a relationship with
Laurel at that point.
And Nicole was totally like, fine. I'm a lot to handle. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And I love that Nicole is so comfortable in herself that she's like not afraid to be exactly who she is, and like she's very different from a lot of the people we see on the challenge, and it's really refreshing to see someone like this, and I love having her on my TV.
It's rare that we have a love triangle that ends kind of so maturely with the two people not going against each other, and then when one of them kind of makes a decision, they're each kind of like giving valid arguments about why they were behaving in each way and why they're reluctant to pursue it. Usually this would end in some type of blowout argument, fighting and crying, and everyone kind of handled that themselves pretty well.
Except Amanda. But
right.
She
never handles herself well in any situation, so that can't be expected.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of interesting storylines going into this. Darrell, who we didn't really mention, who I love. I think he's hilarious. I love his commentary. Him and Johnny are facing off each other, and like, this is a super interesting elimination because it's the two most winningest challenge competitors ever.
Yeah, this was, I mean, if you asked people like a year or two ago if they would ever see a Bananas versus Darrell situation, they would think that's too far. Like, Darrell just been gone for too long. Yeah. His life is too different. Like, this is kind of a battle of sort of like a generational battle, you know? Like, this is a great matchup to see, and especially for this specific elimination, because this is one of my favorites.
I do kind of love that they're doing like the old school elimination challenges for the challenger or talent champions. But I agree with you. I'd like to see the challengers kind of do something like it too once in a while. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say? Like, and even, you know, I think it was pretty shocking that Darrell won against Zach. And say what you will about Zach being a sheep in wolf's clothing, and, you know, his bark is bigger than his bite, he's still a huge guy who's got muscles and he's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in bouts of physical competition, like, I think Zach could do well, and he has done well in the past, but he didn't beat Darrell. And I love that. I love that Darrell, you know, kind of surprised everyone there by winning. And, you know, if he beats Bananas here, well, I mean, is there any conversation about Bananas being the best male competitor of all time? I don't think so.
I think what this, I was having this kind of like debate with my friends about whose legacy kind of changes most if Darrell does win. I think it helps Darrell a lot more, because I think one of
it cements Darrell's legacy, where I don't think it really has that much of an effect on Bananas, because Bananas has been eliminated a lot of times.
Right.
Or Darrell hasn't. Darrell has been a winner, and he's going to continue. I think he's going to continue to be a winner.
And it definitely, and one of the big things that been like the mark for Bananas is that he just is a great manipulator of his way through the game. And this, the way this season kind of played out, is there was no real way for him
he had no wiggle room. He really didn't. Yeah. And the moment he did last episode, he used it, and he used it effectively.
Right. Like the first week, he just won the immunity, so he was free from voting in. And now this one, it was just three people, and it was just whoever wins is free. So there was no, he never had a situation of being able to play to his strength, which is avoiding, being able to avoid a voting into elimination. Yeah. So this is why, like, for Darrell to come back after all these years, and if he can roll off beating Zach and then Bananas and then CT and then winning a final, like, that's a legacy changing thing.
It's astounding.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw the kind of the first few heats, and it seems like Darrell is going to take him out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it really felt like there. Because what we saw, what it left off on, was Johnny, if you don't score this, Darrell wins. And we left on that moment. And it's hard for me to believe that if there wasn't a point where they evened out and came like 1-1 or whatever, that we wouldn't have seen that. And then whatever is happening after, that's what the cliffhanger was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's, I just hate that they kill the momentum of this buildup. Like, I know I'm a huge loser. I tweet out this is like a huge, like, you know, playoff football matchup, and they just kind of cut it off like the fourth quarter. Like, just give me, if you want to do a two-bit continued Laurel versus Carl, just give me the resolution of this.
But the thing is here, and devil's advocate for a minute, what part of the episode would you have cut to make sure that all this is in one?
I mean, it's...
What do you cut? Give me the Amanda fight. Give me the Laurel conversations. You know? I feel like all of those were important. And because, you know, there were some things that led up to the Laurel conversation, we needed to have those too, right?
Yeah. Then, you know what? That almost would have rather them if they should have just to be continued...
The before challenge. The
elimination, just to be continued, the elimination even starting.
Yeah, don't I even agree.
Give me a first few rounds. Just totally. Let it play out fresh.
I totally agree with that.
That I would have been fine with. So, but even right before, I forgot to bring this up because they do that. This is now like a new thing that TJ does.
Oh my god, yeah.
He asks people questions.
This is weird.
Angela Bloom brought it up. She said TJ's insistence on asking people during eliminations, "Who are you playing for?" And then I think it was someone said he's playing for their mom.
Kara was like, my mom, I guess. She's the one who believes in me the most.
Which is quite the lackluster response.
Okay. And then Laurel's was her dad, because her dad has always been there for her no matter what. Darrell's was his kids. I mean, obviously. And then Bananas, I was kind of surprised by. Did you know about this story with this young girl?
I've seen him post a lot of stuff on Twitter and Instagram about this girl, Casey Harvey, who he... has gotten, I guess, very close to after everything that happened with DMs. You know, she's a 14, 15 year old.
Yeah, he said, I'm playing for this really special girl at home. Her name's Casey. You know, she's the strongest person I've ever met. I was almost in tears at this point. I've never seen like a more humanizing moment from Bananas.
Yeah, it's that moment of like, you wanna, like, everyone's ready to like kind of like rip him apart. Like, oh, I'm playing because I just want to keep winning and win more money. And then he just drops this on you. Like, oh my god, I'm an asshole for even wanting to be mad at him, because this is so sweet. This is so nice.
Yeah. So I appreciate that moment. I did.
I have no idea where these questions are coming from.
It's like, talk about momentum killing.
Like, who in the production was like, TJ, I got an idea. Before eliminations, ask these people personal questions about their lives, about who they're competing for and why they're doing this.
Yeah.
That'll really, like, juice up the game.
And when it works out like Bananas, it worked out. Kara, it was just like, my mom, I guess. Like, it just was like, the moment fell really flat there for me.
Right. It's just a bizarre change to do after all these years. But, oh, who are you playing for? What's your purpose? Probe should start doing that before tribal.
So who are you
playing Survivor for, everyone?
That would be interesting, though. That should be like an interview question, like a pre-game interview question.
Right. Yeah. So cuts off Bananas, Darrell waiting to see that result. And then we're going to see the Laurel versus Car buildup, which should be really good. What they didn't mention, which I thought they would, is I'm pretty sure this is the elimination where Car like broke her hand a few seasons ago against Jeff's. So hopefully they bring that up like before she
does. I'm so glad Jess isn't here.
Oh, she's She's like the Sylvia before Sylvia.
That's true. Do you think she's done?
I think so. I think she's now like a chef or something like
that. Right, right, right. Like she's actually like doing real things with her existence. Good for her.
Yeah, for all, it's amazing. For all the hate I gave Kara, like how she blocked me, I like absolutely shit on Jess randomly throughout this stuff. Even on Twitter, I just randomly shit on her and she still just followed me like very nicely. So I compliment her for that.
Yeah. Kara, you can even be like, Kara, you were wearing two different socks on last night's episode. Why?
Blocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not missing anything, Brian. There's so many points where I really want to like Kara and I convince myself that I do like Kara. And then, you know, she tweets things like, oh, I have a great workout. It's carrying the season on my back. And it's no, I'm not bothering with you.
I just hate how she just brings up like all the things she's good at when she loses and just how great she is when she wins. It's just
it's unnecessary. Like, we know you're kind of good.
Yeah, we know you work out a lot. Everyone knows you work out a lot. Yeah. Just admit you got beat. Like, you got beat, Kara.
So who do you think is going to win the elimination? Kara?
I think Laurel. She's just so much bigger than Kara. It's insane. I don't know. Like, Laurel could just stretch her arm across the sand and just drop the ball, like, over Kara's head. And she could just do it like that. I'd be very impressed if Kara can win.
I also think Laurel's going to win, but mostly based on, like, how did the Nicole and Laurel relationship develop if Laurel leaves? And, like, you kind of pointed out before, like, Ashley Kay and Dario developed after they left. But when Kara stays in the house and Nicole's still very interested in Kara, how does the Laurel Nicole relationship develop? I think it really will start to bloom once Kara's gone, so that's just my prediction.
Yeah, and Will Subban said how incredible is the prospect of Laurel and Nicole being the top two finishers in the girls' side this season. It'd be a great conclusion to their story, and it's easily the most likely top two.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, them battling in the final and then like embracing in love at the top of like a volcano would be quite the sight to see.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that's everything I have. Do you have any final points on this episode?
Just on the challenge in general? I really love this episode. As much as this season has been a little like, I don't really get what's going on. Like, once we got into the Oasis, I think that the season has really picked up and I've been enjoying it. Honestly, for the last couple of years, like, there's nothing I enjoy more than like putting the challenge on and watching it Wednesday morning. Like, it's honestly one of the shows I look forward to most during the week, and I've been loving the podcast. I'm so excited I finally got to be on. I'm sad that Allie isn't here. I adore Allie. I think what you guys do here is awesome and funny and so wonderful. And I'm glad to be a part of it and, you know, talk about a show that I've really never had a platform to talk about before.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us. You were a very great replacement for a wonderful Allie Lasher.
What was my WAR at?
8.0 WAR.
Was it MVP Gary Sanchez WAR level?
It was
Aaron Hicks level. It. Is that who you're tweeting about? God,
Jared? Yeah, that definitely not Aaron Hicks level. We would cut this off if you're Aaron Hicks level. You're way better than that. Don't worry.
Baseball talk with Haley and Brian.
Cannot wait for opening day. Just get me here already. Been a long winter.
It has been. Yeah.
Long winter. So thank you again so much for joining. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can go to robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And where can they subscribe to the Bachelor one, which is, I think, when's Bachelor premiere? Like in May, right?
Bachelor, it starts in May. You can find me all over the internet. If you want to check out my Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise stuff, you can find that at robhasawebsite.com/batchcast, BACHCAST. If you don't like The Bachelor, listen to it anyway. We have a great time. Lots of people say they don't watch the show, but they listen to us. So subscribe to that. Even if you like just download the episodes and then delete them, like, fine with me. I don't care. You can find me on Twitter at @hstrong_. I tweet about a lot of things. Find me on Instagram at @hstrong_2, Snapchat @hstrong28. My blog is haleystrong.wordpress.com. And if you want anything else, just Google me. You'll find what you're looking for, probably.
Perfect. I like that we're the two people in the FBR board who have underscores in our Twitter name, because apparently...
Yeah, you copy my...
Yeah, I added an underscore now. Call him Brian_, follow me there. So thank you so much again, Haley. This was fun. Until next week.